Hi there. We've all got our favourite passages of scripture. We've all got our favourite portions. We've all got those passages that we turn to in time of trouble or difficulty, and even those passages of scripture where we're committed to memory. And we've got those favourites we like to quote, like John 3:16: "God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When we're trying to share the gospel with unbelievers, we like to share verses like, "God was reconciling the world unto Himself, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And other verses, we have our personal preferences for Psalms as well. We'll turn to Psalm 23 or Psalm 51, or we'll turn to some of these passages of Scripture to bring encouragement and help us in our witness and test sharing the gospel with others. I'm going to turn to a psalm which has become one of my favourites, and I'm sure the favourite of many, and I've heard it quoted a few times over this past number of weeks and months. It's Psalm number 46, and it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." And we turn to this psalm whenever we feel we need refuge, when we need encouragement, when we need strength, when we need something to help us in a particular situation. It reminds us of the great God that we have. One of the problems we're all facing today is that we have nothing to compare the situation that we're facing today with in our lives. We have no experience that we can look back to and compare it with. One senior politician said it himself, "We haven't seen anything like this in our lifetime." Some were comparing it to the First and the Second World War, and then they soon left that idea behind when they realised that this was far worse than any First or Second World War. It's a case that your best friend could actually become your worst enemy if they proved positive for COVID and you received it with an underlying health issue and it resulted in your serious illness or even death. One of the reasons that Christians truly love the Psalms is because there we find direction and encouragement and inspiration. We identify with some of the circumstances, as there is no situation that we have faced but they have faced in their day, the writers of the Psalms, which was David or Asaph or Hezekiah or Isaiah or any one of those, or a poet laureate. And they certainly had pestilences, and they certainly had wars, and they certainly had famines, and they certainly had many of the destructive issues that we face on a daily basis. And that's why we really love the Psalms, because we can find a psalm that we can identify with and apply it to our lives. Psalm 23, when we're going through bereavement: "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Psalm 51, when we feel ashamed for the failure of our sin: "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Or when we are facing some worrying situation: "I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Many of us turn to Psalm 46 when we feel threatened by a situation. And here we find encouragement, advice, a testimony that will bolster our defences in the situation that we find ourselves. And that's the title of this little psalm that I'm going to look into. I'm going to do maybe four parts today and three other messages from Psalm 46. And the title is a truth or a word that will bolster our defences. I believe that we are at a stage in this pandemic and the situations that we're facing on a daily basis that we need to bolster our defences, or our defences need to be bolstered. And we need to bolster our defences to guard us against the effects that the pandemic is having upon God's children. I believe we need to see again the hope that we have. I believe we need to see again the resources that are available to us. I believe we need to see again what God can do, will do, and what God is doing for His people. I believe we ought to be listening more to Him than the many voices that are filling the airwaves and the many self-appointed preachers who are filling the airways with their thoughts and views, which sometimes actually happen to be very far off. So I'm going to embark on this little series with that in mind. And so, as we look into this, we need to understand Psalm 46. Purely, first of all, we need to look at the historical basis of this psalm. And so, the first point that I want to make on Psalm 46 is, we have an essential reflection. We need to make an essential reflection. Or we need to look back, see why it was penned. See who penned it. Well, it could have been Hezekiah, because he was right in the middle of it. Isaiah was also involved. And there was also the scribe, or a poet laureate, who, as John Phillips, whom I've consulted with, who easily could have written this psalm. And to really understand for Psalm 46, we need to look at the background. Just like I often think about Psalm 23. Psalm 23, there you have the psalmist, the young David. He wasn't a king at that time. He was an unknown, largely. And yet, he was on the side of a mountain, probably somewhere in Palestine. And he was counting his sheep because he was responsible for caring for them, for leading them, for looking after them, protecting them, and guiding them to safety and to provision. And as he was counting his sheep, I often imagine, there he is looking over the sheep, and all of a sudden he realizes, I'm responsible for all of these and for their well-being, that they may mature and may grow and whatever benefits that they could gain from his leadership. And then all of a sudden, as he watches over the sheep, it's like he becomes very aware, conscious, who's looking after me? And as he thinks that, and as he ponders that thought, all of a sudden he realizes, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm the shepherd of those sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. And so you find the events of Psalm 46 in 2 Kings 18 and 2 Kings 19. It's one of the darkest days of Judah. In 701 BC, that is before Christ, the Assyrian army under Sennacherib had laid siege and taken captive the northern territories of Israel, and had taken them captive and had taken them prisoner and possessed their land, and it exacted usury, great amounts of money, and stripped the land bare. I like the way John Phillips says it. He says, before them there was the green, luscious pastures and fields and golden crops, and as they passed through they were barren, burned and left bare through their pillaging and pilfering. The great cities that were imposing, like Damascus, cities of Syria, and the outposts of Judah, were burned to the crisp. And so, we look in this psalm, we see three voices that are speaking to us. There's the voice of Sennacherib, the king. As I said, he has now already taken the northern territories of Israel captive, and he's taken them away, and he's laid bare their fields and their farms and their finances. Now he's gunning for Jerusalem. And we hear these words in 2 Kings 18, verses 19 and 20. Then the Rabshakeh, which is probably a similar position as chief of staff of his armies. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? You speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. And in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Hezekiah had initially formed some kind of an agreement with Sennacherib, and he'd given him large amounts of money if they would not invade his territory. But then he has a God moment where he wants to stand for God, and this enraged Sennacherib, and Sennacherib now is gunning for Jerusalem, gunning for Hezekiah, gunning for God's people, and he's threatening them now with all sorts of destruction. So after this turn of events, after this change of heart, he now finds himself not an ally but an enemy in Sennacherib. And Sennacherib makes these threatening, fearful threats against Hezekiah, and it's deliberate. And he's deliberate in that he wants to strike fear into their hearts. Fixate on the problem. Distract us and divert us from our attention, away from their strengths. That's what the enemy does with us, isn't it? To get us to fixate on our problem. To get it to distract us from the strengths that we have in God. Get us to fear, to be fatalistic and negative. Draw us away from the place of our confidence and assurance. And get us to panic. How many have made wrong choices and decisions and taken wrong turns during times of panic? I heard a preacher say, fear is more dangerous than COVID-19 for the people of God. It leaves a trail of destruction and dereliction in the hearts of many. And to be honest, me personally, I am more concerned about the fear coming into my heart than I am with COVID-19 on my body. Fear stops my walk with God. It stunts it. It denies me of my peace. It stunts my growth. It stalls my witness. And it contradicts my testimony. Because I say, I'm trusting in the Lord, and yet my heart is full of fear. This is one of the voices that the people were hearing when at that moment. The threats and the anger and the sarcasm of Sennacherib. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your land. And nothing's ever going to be right again. You know what Jesus says? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He also said to the churches in Revelation, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And it'd be a good thing to stop and take stock and see what God is saying to us. So there's the voice of Sennacherib. Very quickly, there's the voice of Hezekiah. In 2 Kings 19 and verse 1, and it says this, and it was so when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and he went into the house of the Lord. Thank God for men like Hezekiah. Now, he wasn't perfect, and we know that, and he didn't actually finish too well either. And we also know that he tried at the beginning to form some kind of make an attempt at least to appease the enemy. But as soon as he went all out for God, we know, or when he was going all out for God, the enemy trained his guns and his attention on him. But here's what godly people do. Here's what God's people should do when they recognize they're up against it. They assess the problem, they recognize the problem, they identify the urgency, and they understand the crisis, and they turn to God. I've alluded, so I have, a number of times, to what my concern is personally. But there may be many concerns, there are many concerns I have for God's people at this time, and we need to seek God about it. 2 Kings 19 verses 15 and 16 says this, then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and turn and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. We read in 2 Kings 19 and verse 19, now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand. Save all the king, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Hezekiah's prayer shows us that he is concerned for the glory of God and for his people. That's his voice. He goes into the temple of God, he lifts up his voice to God, and he directs his attention, and he recognizes the situation and the significance. And he does the only thing that he knows to do about it. This great, this mighty, this majestic king, this mighty, powerful king of Judah, redirected to the one alone, who alone could help him. I've doorstepped this past week to some people. Well, I mean, that is, I've gone to deliver little gifts and little wee thoughts from the church to some individuals. I've been on the phone to different individuals and I've been speaking to some of God's people. And all I can say is there are a lot of God's people suffering at this time. Some of them are suffering mentally and some of them are suffering spiritually. Some are suffering physically. I drove 35 miles the other day to a lady whose partner has put her in hospital twice since this all started. She is emotionally wrecked, she is psychologically disturbed, she is personally upset, not to mention the physical wounds that she's received. Then I was speaking to another person who, don't want to be too specific, but I was speaking to another person who's very concerned about the changing behaviour of their children. I went to another parent who told me that their daughter is very, very lonely. Nobody to play with her, no children to interact with. Socially isolated, she has no brothers and no sisters. I got a text this morning from someone that said there have been a number of times during this past 8 to 9 weeks where they have felt like giving in, throwing in the towel and giving up. And then I met another individual recently and they said, Pastor, you've come in a very bad week for me. I've had a bad time, psychologically. Can I say, maybe you're one of those people, or you know someone like that? I believe we will learn a lot in Psalm 46 that will help you and also will help you instruct others and direct them where they can get help. So there's the voice of Sennacherib, threatening, angry, and all kinds of insults. And there's the voice of Hezekiah. Hezekiah takes the threats and the situation and turns it to the Lord. I can imagine him in prayer. Can you? I can imagine his poise. I can imagine his position. Lying prostrate before God, telling him, Lord, this is how it is. This is what's going on. And Lord, remember too, that it's about the fact he states it. Lord, these people, Sennacherib and the Assyrians, they were approaching our God. They were approaching your name. And his priority is the glory of God. And his name in the land amongst the nations and the people of God, he's equally concerned. Any pastor worth his salt, any church leader worth his salt has the concern of God's people and God's glory at heart. And they will do everything and anything they can to ensure that God's people don't suffer overmuch. Which tells me something why I'm hoping and praying to get open our drive-in church services going. Because whilst we may have these wonderful numbers on the internet, live streaming, I don't know who they are. They could be our people. They could be all our people. I don't know that. I'd love to be able to see. And one medical doctor who I was talking to this past week said to me, actually a mental health doctor said to me, he said, you know, there's nothing better you could do than arrange something than what you're arranging. And they were an unbeliever. Because it'll help the mental well-being of God's people. So, the hearts of the people are failing, says Hezekiah. The morale of his people are low. The enemy is stalking proudly and menacingly. And he says, I'm losing control, Lord. He says, I'm concerned for your name. And I'm concerned for your people. This is the voice of Hezekiah. Heard in the courts of heaven, might I add. And then there's the voice of God. We turn to 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 20. And here we have a man who we've come to know and loved, haven't we? His name is Isaiah. And it says, then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. Then Hezekiah prays, God answers. So I can easily say that this is the voice of God through Isaiah. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer about King Sennacherib of Assyria, and the Lord has spoken this word against him. And then we read verse 32 to verse 34. And this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. His armies will not enter Jerusalem. They will not even shoot an arrow at it. They will not march against its gates with their shields, nor build banks of earth against its walls. The king will return to his own country by the same road in which he came. He will not enter the city, says the Lord. For my honour and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend the city and protect it. What a word, what a promise. Can I say to you, friends, that this is not the voice of reckless abandon. This is not the voice of indifference or fatalism. This is not the voice of oblivion of the impending destruction. This is not an empty, impotent, sacrilegious jargon spoken merely for inspiration, but nothing, but containing nothing of neither substance nor source. This is the voice of God through Isaiah. How important a role Isaiah plays in all of this. We need men who are in touch with God. Men who know the mind of God. Men who are in touch with God. Men whose spirit of discernment is well intact. This is the voice of the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing, all-over God. One who knows the end from the beginning. One who is in sovereign control. Hear what he says in 2 Kings 19, verses 25 to 26. But have you not heard, says the Lord, I decided this long ago. Long ago I planned it, and now I am making it happen. I planned it for you to crush fortified cities into heaps of rubble. That is why their people have so little power and are so frightened and confused. They are as weak as grass, as easily trampled as tender green shoots. They are like grass sprouting on a housetop, scorched before it can grow lush and tall. And so the scene is set. Jerusalem is encircled by the enemy. They're at the door. The threats are real. The strategy is working. People's hearts are failing. Hezekiah goes to God in prayer. God responds to Hezekiah through the servant Isaiah, who's God's mouthpiece to him. And God is about to intervene. Brothers and sisters, God is about to intervene. He sends us this great promise. He says that they will not come into Jerusalem. The enemy need not threat into the Jerusalem of your heart and mine. He need not take up positions in our minds. The enemy need not have sway in our decisions and cause us to struggle and fear at the face of this awful enemy. By the way, we know the threat was real. Hezekiah knew the threat was real. Isaiah knew the threat was real. And God certainly knew the threat was real. But God was in absolute control. Psalm 46 is written to commemorate this story and this great victory. From it we learn how we ought to have real confidence at times like this. We learn the importance of following and listening to God and not the enemy. We discover that we ought to be confident in our God. We learn why we ought to be positive and expectant, assured at times like this, that the end is in sight, but the victory is also in sight. We learn from the psalm that we may live again in the knowledge that our God has it in hand. May God use his word to bless and inspire our hearts at this time. I love this psalm. Next time we're going to look at the refuge. The refuge. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. May God encourage us to understand the background of this psalm, so that it will enable us then to gain the blessings that are contained in the psalm. And we will take a little bit of survey and look at the refuge. We're going to look at this secret fountain that he speaks about in Psalm 46. This reservoir that flows secretly. The enemy doesn't know it's there. But Hezekiah had purposed and knew it was there. And God had fed it. So we will be encouraged, I trust. And I trust that it will encourage your heart. So come on this journey. A journey, a word to bolster your defences that may be faltering and failing at a time like this, because I know many are. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that your word, there's nothing mysterious about it. There's nothing elusive about it, Lord. We thank you that you encourage us, you inspire us, you enable us, Lord, to perceive what you're saying to us in these days. God, by your Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll minister into our hearts. Help us to gain all that you have, to glean all that you have for us from this psalm. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. See you soon.